We're beginning here on the top of Pei Chedem with Aleph by the two dots. Here the Gemara quotes the Mishnah v'chein shtei gezuz teraot zu l'malami zu. We had the case in the Mishnah where you had two balconies, one higher than the other, not directly above each other, and the upper balcony made a mechitza which allows them to draw water on Shabbat, and the lower balcony did not make such a mechitza. Since both the upper balcony and the lower balcony utilize the upper balcony to draw their water on Shabbat, it is problematic for them unless they make an Eruv together. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, that this problem only arises lo shanu ela b'smucha, when they are approximate to each other, adjacent to each other. If the two balconies on the horizontal plane are within four tefachim of each other. Aval muflegat el yunav, but if the upper balcony is more than four tefachim away, muteret, then it's not a problem. And the Gemara explains why, because it's Rav litame, it's Rav l'shita to, da'am Rav, ein adam muser al chavero der chavir, that through air, one cannot cause a problem for his friend. And we're talking about air over here, we're not talking about zrika versus shulshul, because we've seen before that Rav equates those two in the Mishnah and says that they were problematic for each other. But rather, the zrika, or the air that we're talking about over here, is bimashach, is on the horizontal plane. That if you have to throw something across the horizontal plane, then it is not oser on the other party. And over here, if you're more than four tefachim away on the horizontal plane, the upper balcony from the lower balcony, then the lower balcony is going to have to throw their bucket horizontally, not just upwards, but also horizontally in order to get it through the mechitza on the upper balcony. And that is not considered to be easy enough use that you can cause a problem for the upper balcony. So in that case, the upper balcony that has the mechitza there will be able to utilize it and not worry about the fact that the lower balcony, maybe during the week, utilizes it, because that type of usage is not common enough or easy enough to be oser for the upper balcony. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Chia, Rav Yosef, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya. We have Rabba quoting in the name of Rabbi Chia, or Rav Yosef, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya. We have Rabba and Rav Yosef, who are contemporaries, quoting from Tanaim, that are Tamidim of Rabbi. Ish Gezel b'Shabbat, v'churva machzir lebalim. They quote this Braita, that says there is such thing as Gezel on Shabbat. On the other hand, a churva, a place that is destroyed, returns things to the balim. And now the Gemara explains this. Agufa kasha. It doesn't make so much sense. This braita is internally inconsistent. Amart, you said yesh gezel b'shabbat, that you have the ability to steal on Shabbat. Alma kanyo. It sounds like from that you are able to make a kinyan. So for instance, in a case where you have two chatzerot or two houses that are adjacent to a churva, to an area that is destroyed, one of the parties, whether it's one of the chatzerot or one of the houses, owns that churva. In the meantime, the party who does not own the churva is utilizing it. They start to use it during the week. It comes to Shabbat, and now they continue to utilize it on Shabbat. If you say yesh gezel b'Shabbat, that we do consider it as if he's made a kinyan and taking possession of his churva because he's utilized it during the week, then on Shabbat it'll be fine for him to continue, because it's as if he has ownership over that property. And that's the first statement of the Braita. But then, the second part of the Braita says, v'churva machzir lebalim, that churva, if you place something in it, would be the equivalent of returning it to the balim, meaning that the original owners still have ownership over it. Alma lo kanyo. From that, it seems like that the party that's utilizing it has not made a kinyan over it, and it's not his. If it's not his, he cannot use it on Shabbat. So which one is it? Is he allowed to use it on Shabbat? Since he's been using it during the week, in a sense, he's created an easement over it. He's stolen the property because he didn't have permission, but he can continue to utilize it on Shabbat. Or do we say, even though he's using it during the week, nevertheless, when it comes to Shabbat, he won't be able to continue to utilize it because it's not his. And if it's not his, he can't use it on Shabbat without creating an Eruv with the balim, with the owners who have the rights to that property. So the Gemara now says, Hachi Gamar, they amend the Braita to read this way, Ish din gezel b'Shabbat. There is a concept of gezel on Shabbat. Ketzav, what does that mean? The churva machzir the balim, that the churva returns to the original owner. So even if you're utilizing it during the week, once it comes to Shabbat, the original owner's rights are automatically exerted, and you cannot continue to use it on Shabbat without making the proper arrangements. Amar Rav, Motvinan, Ashmaitin. And then we brought a question from our Mishnah on this position, the way that we have amended the Braita, which is V'chein Shtei Guzuz Torot, Zu L'mala Mizu, our Mishnah, where you have the two balconies, one higher than the other. V'ya Martesh Din Gezel B'Shabbat, if you say or explain the Braita as saying there is a concept of Gezel on Shabbat, meaning that you cannot take ownership over something that is not yours, Amaya Surot, then why doesn't it work? The assumption being here that the upper balcony put in a mechitza, and in putting a mechitza allows them to draw on Shabbat. During the week, maybe the lower balcony also throws their buckets up there to draw through that hole or through that mechitza. But when it comes to Shabbat, why should the lower balcony be able to exert right over the upper balcony? They don't have permission to be there. It's not their mechitza, it's not their hole to draw the water through. So even if they do it during the weekday, when it came to Shabbat, they should be restricted from utilizing it. And if they are restricted from utilizing it, then the upper balcony should be able to utilize it because it's theirs solely. They can have their rights exerted and they can utilize it. Amar of Sheshet, Hachav Mayaskinan. So this is the way we explained the Mishnah in the past, which is, what is the case in this Mishnah? Shasu mechitza bishutafot. They made the mechitza together. And the upper balcony made the mechitza, the lower balcony contributed to make that mechitza. And so now they have joint ownership over that mechitza. And since they have joint ownership, it's not that they're stealing. It's not that they're exercising an easement to throw their bucket over there and stealing the upper balcony's property, because they have rights to do it since they had joined together to build a mechitza on the upper balcony. Where it says, Ihochi, if that is the case, ki asula tachtono nami, even if they make a mechitza on the lower balcony, why is it that it now frees the upper balcony from being asur? If the lower balcony really has rights up there because of ownership, that ownership continues even if they put up a mechitza on their own balcony. The Gemara says, "Kevin da suda tachtona galui galai da'ata da'ana b'hadach lo nechali." When the lower balcony makes their own mechitza, it's as if they've stated that I prefer to use my mechitza on the lower balcony and not the mechitza that we own a partnership with on the upper balcony. And by doing so, we now make it easier for the upper balcony. We say we'll grant sole rights to the upper balcony to use the upper mechitza, despite the fact that the lower balcony has some ownership in there, because the lower balcony has a better alternative, and we'll tell the lower balcony, use your better alternative, and by doing so, you'll free the upper balcony to utilize their mechitza. And since they built the mechitza on the lower balcony, it's clear that's what they prefer to use, rather than the one that we're jointly owned with the upper balcony. So because of that, the upper balcony is asur when there's the only mechitza on the upper balcony, because they have the rights to it, and so does the lower balcony, without stealing, without doing anything wrong, they have rights to it, because they paid for it, they were joint owners of it. On the other hand, once the lower balcony makes its own mechitza, even though they have joint ownership of the upper balcony, they're already indicating that they have a preference to use their own balcony, and by doing so, we free the upper balcony to be utilized by only the upper balcony people, and they both will be mutarim. Now, the lower balcony and the upper balcony, because they each have their own mechitza, despite the fact that the lower balcony is a partner in the upper balcony's mechitza. Okay, next Mishnah. Chatzer shehi pechuta mi'arba amot. If you have a courtyard that is less than 4 amot, over here, it's, as Rashi explains later on in the Gemara, it's 4 by 4 amot, less than that amount. Ein shofkim betocha mayim b'shabbat. You cannot pour out your dirty water, your sewage water, into it on Shabbat. Ela im gain. Unless, asula uga machzeket zataim, min hanekev ulamata. Unless you make in that chatzer a ditch that will collect the water, that is at least a sa'atayim big, 2 sa'ah worth of volume that it can absorb, min hanekev ulamata, from the opening on the top. Downward, it has to be able to contain at least 2 sa'ah. 2 sa'ah is the standard amount of water that's used by an individual on a daily basis. So if you have an ukah that is sa'atayim deep, we assume that it can absorb the water that is used by individuals on a given day. Now that ditch, or that sa'atayim big pit, can be ben mi machutz, ben mi mifnim, whether it's inside the chatzer, or it can even be outside the chatzer in the Rishut HaRabim, and you can pour into it. Ella, the only qualification there is, shemir b'chut tzarich likmor, that if the pit is on the outside, you have to cover it. Mibifnim ain't tzarich likmor. On the inside, you do not have to cover it. So if it's in your chatzer, you can pour into it directly without any problem, or right next to it without any problem. On the other hand, if it's found outside of your chatzer, then we force you to cover it over, as Rashi says, to make it into a makom p'tur. And once it is covered and it's a makom p'tur, then you can pour into it, even from the reshut ha'yachid, from the chatzer, and it will not be as if you're pouring into the reshut ha'rabim, because it's covered and that makes it into a makom p'tur. Elazar ben Yaakov omer, biv, shehu kamur, arba amot reshut ha'rabim. If you have a sewage channel, a sewage pipe, but there's no pipe here, it's dug into the ground, this channel, that is covered for at least 4 amot in the Reshut HaRabim. As this channel exits the chatzer, the first 4 amot are covered when it enters into the Reshut HaRabim. Shofchim letocho mayim b'Shabbat. Then you can pour into this sewage channel water that you do not need on Shabbat. Chomim amim. Afilu gag o chatzer me'ama. Even if you have a roof, or a chatzer that's 100 amot long, lo yishpoch al pi abiv. You cannot pour it directly into the sewage channel. Vo shofechu l'gag v'amayim yordim l'biv. But you can do is pour it on the roof, and from the roof it itself will drain down and then go into the sewage channel. That is fine, as long as you do not pour directly into the sewage channel. Now the reason that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that a biv, a sewage channel that is covered for the first 4 amot, going into the Reshut HaRabim, you are permitted to pour water on Shabbat into that sewage channel. Rashi says the reason is because the assumption is that over that span of 4 amot, the water will be absorbed into the ground. So because of that, once it exits the other side of the channel, there shouldn't be any water left, because there's sufficient space within the covered area of the sewage channel that it should be absorbed. And even if it does go beyond that point, you did not intend for that. You intended for it to be totally absorbed before it exits the other side of the sewage channel that is covered. And since you don't intend for it, even if it happens, lo nitkaima makshavato, that's not what you wanted, and your makshav was not carried out, therefore it's mutar. Because even if you intended for it to flow out the other side, it would not have been an iser doraita, because you're not throwing into the reshut ha'rabim itself. You're pouring it into your edge of your chatzer, and then it's flowing through into this pipe. But they go out by themselves. So since it goes out into the Reshut HaRabim by itself, we're not going to hold you accountable when you do it shelo b'kavanah, without intent. And why is it without intent here? Is because the duration of the sewage channel that is covered is 4 amot, and the assumption being that within that 4 amot, it will be absorbed, and that's your intent. So therefore, you don't intend for it to go out to the Reshut HaRabim, it's mutar ligamri. Obviously, the Chachamim disagree that if you pour directly into the biv, into the sewage channel, and they go directly out with your koach into the Reshut HaRabim, somebody who's standing outside is going to say, wait a minute, this person's pouring their item out into the Reshut HaRabim, and it looks like it's coming out from their channel. It's as if they're pouring something into the Reshut HaRabim, and people will come to the wrong conclusions because of that. Tosafot, on the other hand, brings from the Rashbam, who explains that the reason why the pipe that is covered for 4 amot, the sewage channel that is covered for 4 amot over here, is okay according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, is because the whole problem with a beef, the whole problem with the sewage channel is a mishum chashto. It's that people outside are going to see you pouring it out into the Reshut HaRabim, and they're going to think that it's okay, or that you're doing something that's wrong. But once it's covered for 4 amot, when the water comes out, it's not adjacent to your property. And therefore, they're not going to automatically assume that it's coming from your property. And they won't come to the wrong conclusions, whether about you, about whether it's permissible to do such an item. Tosafot says that the Gemara later on seems to support Rashi, that when we're talking about absorption, it has to be 4 by 4 amot. And there the Gemara compares a chatzer to a biv. And doing so indicates that they think that the reason behind both of them is the same, and that is the issue of absorption. Now he does point out a big nafgamina between the Rashbam and Rashi, which is if you use a pipe. If you use, for instance, a wooden pipe to take the water out, the sewage out of the chatzer. According to Rashi, wooden pipe, even if it's covered for 4 amot, will not help you. Because the whole point of this heter of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the fact that it's absorbed into the ground. In a wooden pipe, it's not going to be absorbed into the ground over that duration of 4 amot. On the other hand, according to the Rashbam, who says the whole problem here is if it spills out adjacent to your property into the Reshut HaRabim, it'll look like you're pouring into the Reshut HaRabim. Once you distance it away 4 amot, it no longer looks like it's being poured from in the chatzer into the Reshut HaRabim, and therefore it's mutar. The same should be true by a wooden pipe as it is by a sewage ditch or channel. So the same should be true by the pipe, because it takes it away from the area of the chatzer. Now, Tosfos does backtrack a little bit and says, even according to Rashi, if the pipe is similar to like a cobblestone pipe or sewage channel, then that would be fine, because then even between the stones, there is absorption of the water. So it's only if it's something like plastic or wood or something that's not absorptive that we would say that Rashi would believe it doesn't help that it's covered, whereas the Rashbam would. If it is something that's absorptive, even though it's not just purely ground, but it's something like cobblestones, but has the ability to absorb between them, then we would say Rashi agrees there, if it has a cover of 4 amot, that is sufficient. If you have a courtyard that's next to a gazebo, an area that has a roof over it, but is not surrounded by walls on all sides, then mitztarfim la'arba amot, they can combine to get you the requisite 4 amot, or 4 by 4 amot that you need here, in order to pour your water into the chatzer. It doesn't only have to be the courtyard, it can also be this other area that is adjacent to it, and will count both of them towards your arba amot. Then the Mishnah finishes off with the final case, which is v'chein shtei diuta'ot, zu keneged zu. If you have two, we'll call them mirpesot, but these are areas. You have houses on the right side of the chatzer, houses on the left side of the chatzer. Each of them in front of their houses has a porch that goes across. It's the way they exit from the houses onto this porch. And then from this porch, they descend into the chatzer. Both sides have this. And then, miksatanasu uga. One of the two porches made for themselves a ditch in the chatzer. They pour their water from their houses onto the porch or on the porch, and that water runs down into the uka. If one of them did it, umiksatamloasu uka. But the porch on the other side did not do this. Echasu uka mutarim. The ones who made that sewage ditch can pour water out on Shabbat onto their porch and let it flow down into the uka. Those that did not make the uka cannot pour on their porch, even though that water might flow across the chatzer to the other ditch or to the sewage collection area. They still cannot do it on their own side, and the Gemara explained why that is. Now the Gemara says, my taima. What is the reason that we say that a chatzer that is less than 4 by 4 amot not permitted to dump this shofchim, this sewage water, into it on Shabbat? Amar Rabo, and there are some that have the girsa of Rava, and even one girsa has Amar Rav, but Amar Rabo, Mipnei Shadam Asur Distapek Satay Mayim Bechol Yom. Since a person's normal usage of water over a day is Satayim, 2 sa'ah worth of water, Barba Amot, Adam Rotzed Lezalfan. If you have an area, a span that is 4 by 4 amot, a person would take water and sprinkle water on that area in order to settle the dust in that area. If you have an area that's 4 by 4 amot, and the normal usage of the individual over a day is satay mayim, if you put those two together, if you have up to satay mayim, then you can say, or you would sprinkle that area with that water in order to settle the dust. On the other hand, pachot midalit, if it's less than 4 by 4 amot, then you wouldn't do ziluf in order to settle the dust, or you have just too much water in order to settle the dust, and therefore shofchan, you're going to pour them in. E David Uka, if he makes the sewage ditch, then he's fine. E lo, asur. If he doesn't make the sewage ditch, then it would be asur. So the quantity of water has to match with your ability to pour them into the chatzer for a good reason. If you have a chatzer that's 4 by 4 hamot, then it would make sense to be mezalef. It would make sense to sprinkle water on it to settle the dust. And the satayim of water that you have would be sufficient and normal to do in this way. On the other hand, if the chatzer is smaller than that, it would not make sense to be mezalef that water. In the end, you're just going to end up pouring it out into that area. And that's problematic. So we have you dig a ditch in order to capture that water that you would have poured out when it's less than 4 by 4 amot. Zera amar, dalet amot taimi. 4 by 4 amot absorbs the water. Pachot vidalet amot, lo taimi. Less than 4 by 4 amot does not absorb the water. So therefore you need another way for the water to be absorbed, and that is the uka. My binahu. What's the difference between the explanation of Rabbi Zera and Rabbo? Amar Abayi, arich vekatan ige binahu. The difference is, if the dimensions are not square, if you do not have a 4 by 4 amot area, if you have, for instance, an area that is 2 amot by 8 amot, then there would be a distinction between their opinions. According to Rabbo, who says the whole issue is mizaleif, a person only would be mizaleif an area that is square, 4 by 4 amot. If the same square amot are created by being narrow or rectangular, 2 by 8, then you wouldn't be mizaleif that type of area, because it's too short or narrow, and you're not normally sprinkling in that area. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Zeru, it's all about absorption, then the square amot make a difference. If it's 4x4 or 2x8, they're both 16 amot, and 16 amot is the amount of square amot that you need in order to absorb the water, and that you do have present over here. In our Mishnah, it says, Chatzer v'achsadra mitzarfim l'dalet amot. That both the chatzer and the achsadra, which is similar to a gazebo, an area that is covered and has walls on three sides with lots of windows and one side is completely open, mitzarfim l'dalet amot. Our Mishnah says that they can be counted together towards getting to this amount of 4 amot. So, bishlama Rabbi Zeira necha. According to Rabbi Zeira, that makes sense, because Rabbi Zeira says that the square amot that we're looking for here don't have to necessarily be square. They don't have to be 4x4. So here we're assuming that the achsadra does not follow along the entire span of the chatzer. It's on a corner or somewhere on the side of the chatzer. If that's the case, the space is not square, but rather rectangular. And we see our Mishnah says that they combine together to be the dalet amot, al dalet amot that we're looking for. So Rabbi Zeira, that's great. El Rabba Kasho. For Rabba, that's difficult. Targum Rabbi Zeira, libe de Rabba. So Rabbi Zeira explained this Mishnah on behalf of Rabba. It's very simple. You can have it be that the achsadra that we're speaking about in our Mishnah goes across the whole span of the chatzer. So for instance, if you have a chatzer that's 2x4 amot, and you have an achsadra that's also 2x4 amot that are adjacent to each other, now you have an area that is 4x4 amot, and it is squared out. So it doesn't have to be that the achsadra is offset to one side or out of one corner, but rather it's across the whole side of the chatzer, and in doing so, when you put them together, you get an area that's 4x4 amot. And even Rabba can explain our Mishnah. Tashma, chatzer she'in ba dalet al dalet amot. In our Mishnah it says that a chatzer that is not 4x4 amot, ein shofchin letocha ma'im b'shabbat. You cannot pour water into it on Shabbat. Bishlam other Rabba, necha. For Rabba that makes sense, because the dimensions given in the Braita, 4x4 amot. If you're off of that 4x4 amot, if you're less than that, not in square amot, but if you're less than that in those dimensions, then it doesn't work. And that's like what Rabba said. Rabba says if it's not a square area, then it doesn't work, or you don't have this dispensation to pour water into there. Ela Rabbi Zeira Gasho. For Rabbi Zeira, that's difficult, because here you see if it's not 4x4, then we say it's problematic, even if it has 16 square amot. Amalcha Rabbi Zeira, Hamani Rabbanon, he, who are the authors of that position? Those are the Rabbanon. Umatnitin, and our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. That is authored by Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. So they're right. There is a difference in opinion. Blazer ben Yaakov believes the reason that you need 4x4 amot here is because of absorption, the amount of area that it would take to absorb the satayim water that you're looking to have absorbed. So there, 4x4, 2x8, we don't care what the dimensions are as long as you get to the 16 square amot. And that's the opinion of Blazer ben Yaakov, and that's the way that Rabbi Zeira is going to explain our Mishnah. On the other hand, the Braita here that says that the 4x4 amot are dafka, that will be a libo de Rabbanan, who believe that it's not an issue of absorption, but rather they believe it's a problem of ziluf, that they believe it's a problem of sprinkling, like what Rabba said, and therefore it have to be exactly 4x4 amot. How do you know that this is the Rabbanan? So the Gemara explains, why was Rabbi Zeira forced to set our Mishnah up like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov and say the Rabbanan don't agree? Marava matditen kashite. Our Mishnah is difficult for him. My area, detani chatzer shi b'chuta. Why does it say in our Mishnah that our chatzer is that's less than 4 amot, or really 4x4 amot? Litnei chatzer she'in ba dalet amot al dalet amot. Why does it say just say b'chuta? It could have said a chatzer that is not dalet by dalet amot, similar to what the Braita said. The fact that our Mishnah does not say that means elav shemamina the Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov hi shemamina. That our Mishnah must have been authored by Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. If you contrast our Mishnah to the Braita tells you when is it problematic? When it's less than 4x4, indicating that 4x4 is the most important factor over here. Whereas our Mishnah simply says pechuta, if it's less than that. Well, if it's less than 4 amot, it's just less than the 16 amot square that we are looking for, and that is the position of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov opposed to the Chachamim. Now, we know that the Chachamim do not think that absorption is the issue, because they have a position in the Mishnah that says that if the sewage channel is even 100 amot long, we don't allow you to pour the water directly into the sewage channel. We make you pour it onto the roof and then have it roll into the biyuv. So despite the fact that this sewage channel is 100 amot long and certainly could absorb the water, nevertheless, we say it's not okay and you can't pour directly into that area. You have to pour it onto the roof and have it go from the roof into the channel. And that shows you that they are very makpid on this 4x4 amot, or having it be useful for ziluf. In the case of the sewage channel, it's just not going to be the case. So because of the Rabbanan's opinion later in the Mishnah, we can learn from that that absorption is not their issue. And that's how we know that they're going to be the authors of our Braita that said it has to be exactly 4x4. Less than that, even though you get to the 16 square amot, is problematic. Whereas the author of Mishnah will be Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says that it doesn't matter what the dimensions are as long as you get to the 16 square amot, based on the Lashon of our Mishnah. Problem with that is, v'ham in the Seifa. Our Mishnah in the Seifa, in the latter half of the Mishnah, says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, with regards to the beef. Well, if Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the Seifa, then Reisha lav Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov cannot be the party that was speaking until then, because now it's the first time we're introduced to him in the Mishnah. Where it says, no, kula Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the entire Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, v'chasurei mechsera, but it's missing some words, v'hachik tani. And this is what is meant by the Mishnah. Chatzer shi b'chuta midalat amot, ein shofchim letocha mayim b'shabbat. A chatzer that is less than 4 amot, meaning 16 square amot, ha dalat amot. But if it is 4 amot, meaning 16 square amot, shofchim, then we do allow you to pour it in, because shi Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer, because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says about the latter half of the Mishnah, biv hakamur dalat amot b'shudamim shofchim letocha mayim b'shabbat, that if you have a sewage channel, you're allowed to pour water into it on Shabbat, because it is for Amot. And here you see what Tosafot said by the Mishnah, that our Gemara sounds like Rashi. Rashi said that the reason that, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you're allowed to pour it into a pipeline as for Amot covered, is because in that area it will be absorbed. And that's what you see the Gemara doing over here. It's comparing to a chatzer of those dimensions to the biv of those dimensions, and saying that that's continuation of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's position from the ratio of the Mishnah into the Seif of the Mishnah. The Reish of the Mishnah is talking about a chatzer, and over there, we say it's about absorption for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and therefore 16 square amot is the only thing that matters. And how do we know that that's the case? And that's what the Gemara said, chasurei mechsera, because then it connects into the second half of the Mishnah, because we know that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says by a pipe that if it's covered for amot, that that is sufficient. So it makes it sound like they're both for the same reason, which is absorption. Unlike the Rashbam, who tried to explain Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's position of the 4 amot that are covered, has to do with the chashto, what people are going to think when it exits from adjacent to your property versus 4 amot away from your property. Now the Gemara discusses the latter half of the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer biv hakamur. If you have a sewage channel that is covered 4 amot, you're allowed to pour the water in there. And the Chachamim disagree and say that you can never pour your water into the channel itself. You can only pour it adjacent to the channel. And then if it flows into the channel, then it's okay. So the Gemara says about that, Matnita and lo kechananya. Our Mishnah is not like Chananya. The Tanya, Chananya Omer, filu gag me'ama lo ishpoch. Even if you have a roof that is 100 amot long, you can't pour the water onto the roof. V'sheine gag asur li bloa el lekalech. Because the roof never absorbs, but rather flows into the piping. So because in our Mishnah, we know that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov with regards to pouring directly into the sewage channel, but they say at least you can pour it onto the roof, and then it flows into the sewage channel. Over here, we have a statement from Chananya, who says clearly you can't even pour it onto the roof, because the roof is not absorptive, and therefore it's not permissible, because you know if you pour it onto the roof, it is going to go into the piping or the sewage channel. And based on that, obviously Chananya is not the author of our Mishnah, or is not like our Mishnah, because even the Chachamim in our Mishnah disagree with that position of Chananya. Now the Gemara continues by bringing a Braita and says, Tana bameh dvarim amurim. When is this true? Now it's clear that bameh dvarim amurim from the Braita is modifying our Mishnah. Question is, what is it modifying our Mishnah? According to Rashi, it's modifying the piece of our Mishnah. It says that tzarich uka, that you do need an uka. When you have less than 4x4 amot, you need this sewage ditch within your chatzer. And then the Braita comes to say, Bameh Dvarim Amurim. When is it true that you need such a sewage ditch? On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam explains that the Bameh Dvarim Amurim is, when is it true that Lo Yishpoch Al Abiv? When is it true, according to the Chachamim, that you cannot pour directly into the water channel? You must pour adjacent to the water channel or the sewage channel and then have it flow in. When is that true? So now, Bameh Dvarim Amurim Bimotachama. That's only true in the summertime. So according to Rashi, you'll need this sewage ditch only in the summertime when your chatzer is too small. Or according to Rabbi Nutam, according to the Chachamim, you will not be able to pour directly into the sewage channel during the summertime. Aval b'motak shamim, in the wintertime, shofech b'shoneh v'enu nimna. You can continue to pour without any reservations. So according to Rashi, it means into a chatzer, even though it's less than 4x4 amot, you can continue to pour in there without any reservations. You don't have to worry about it. And according to the Rabbeinu Tam, that means that you can pour directly into the sewage channel during the winter time. My time, what's the reason? When it comes to the winter time, a person is fine with the water being absorbed in place. So in the chatzer, you would want the water to be absorbed in the chatzer, according to Rashi. And according to the Rabbeinu Tam, you'd want the water to be absorbed into the pipeline. What about the sewage water? When it comes to sewage water, that a person definitely wants them to be absorbed, and yet our Mishnah says that you may not pour them into the pipe on Shabbat. So despite the fact that this pipe can be very long, the Chachamim say in our Mishnah, you're not allowed to pour directly into this pipe. So you see from that, that absorption is not the issue. Despite the fact that you have the absorption, or that you want it to be absorbed, that's not sufficient. So how could Rava say that absorption is the issue here? According to Rashi, in the Chatzer, that's 4x4. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, in this pipe. Now, when we talk about Shofchim versus Mayim, as Rashi points out, that's not a distinction in what the quality or the content of the water is, but rather it calls anything that's poured into the Chatzer Mayim, and anything that's poured into the sewage channel, it calls it Shofchim. Amar Lei, Rava responds to Abai and says, Hatam l'mayne chushla. What are you going to worry about over there? Meaning, in the winter time, what's the problem, according to Rashi, of pouring into a chatzer that's less than 4x4 amot, or according to Rabbeinu Tam, of pouring it directly into the water channel? If it's because it's going to ruin the chatzer, we don't worry about that. It's the winter time, it's raining already. So the chatzer is already ruined. So if it's already ruined, then he won't mind pouring more water in there because he's not going to ruin the chatzer any more than he did before. Same with the sewage channel. If the sewage channel is already wet and being utilized, he won't worry about pouring it in there. If it's because we're afraid that people are going to say, look, he has water pouring out to the Reshut HaRabim. This person's pouring out water directly into the Reshut HaRabim. How could he be doing this? In the wintertime, most pipes or drainage pipes or sewage channels are carrying water because of the rain. And since they're carrying water anyway from the rain, then when you continue to pour in your chatzer and it flows out, that'll be fine. Again, we're not having you pour directly into the Reshut HaRabim. You're having you pour it into the sewage channel and it goes out from there. And it's not as if you're pouring it directly into the Reshut HaRabim. You're pouring it in your chatzer and it goes out. Whether according to Rashi means in the chatzer that's less than 4x4 amot, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, into this channel. Nevertheless, it's permitted because in the winter time, it makes no difference that you're pouring more water there. Everything's ruined already. Everything's having water flow out anyway. So when you pour it out, you haven't done anything more or haven't ruined anything anymore, and you don't bring up any more suspicion because there's already water flowing, nothing to do with you, but because of the rain that has come down. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, "Bimotag shamim uka machzik satayim notun lo satayim." Nachman comes now and makes a statement that during the winter time, if you have a sewage ditch that holds 2 sa'ah, notim lo satayim, you can put into it 2 sa'ah, you can fill it up all the way to the top. Machzik sa'ah, if it holds a sa'ah, notim lo sa'ah, then you can give it a full sa'ah. Tosfot over here says that in that first statement that if you have satayim, you can fill it up to satayim, he means lav dafka satayim, you can keep filling it as much as you want. Bimota chama, machzik satayim, notim lo satayim. In the summertime, if you have a ditch that holds satayim, then you can put in satayim, whereas sa'ah, ain't notim lo kolikar. Whereas if you have a sa'ah, you can't put it in at all. So the Gemara says, why in the summertime can you not fill up the sewage ditch that's a sa'ah big, or has the volume of a sa'ah? Why can't you fill it up with a sa'ah, just like you do in the wintertime? Gemara says, because we're afraid if it's only a sa'ah big, you'll put in more than that, and then it'll overflow. Gemara says, then why aren't we go there in the wintertime? Same way that we're worried about in the summertime of putting in more than the ditch can handle, why don't we say the same thing as far as the wintertime? Again, over there, what are we going to worry about in the wintertime? If we're worried about the fact that if he pours a little more, that it'll ruin the chatzer, it's already ruined. If he overflows it and water flows out of the chatzer, people are going to say, look, he's pouring it directly into the Reshut HaRabim. The pipes during the winter time normally have water flowing out of them because of the runoff from the rain. So this won't be anything unusual, or this isn't something that people are going to suspect that he's pouring the water for it to come out. As Rashi points out, that is only b'dieved. We're not going to chatchila tell you can pour more than a sa'ah's worth into the sa'ah ditch in the winter time, But if it happens that you do pour more in there, we're not going to worry about it because a lot of the problems that would have arisen, we don't have. Because if you intend for it to go out, in the wintertime you won't intend for it to go out because you don't care if it stays in the chatzer because chatzer is already ruined. Or if the problem is because of what people think, people aren't going to think anything because these have water flowing out of them anyway. Amar Abaye, Hilkach, Afilu Kur, Vafilu Kurayim. So Abaye says, if that's the case, then you should be able to pour in even a Kur, Afilu Kurayim. From Rashi, it makes it sound like when Abaye says, Hilkach, Kem Delecha Lemechish Mide, since there's nothing to worry about, Afilu Kur Kurayim, Kashari Tana de Braita. The Braita would have allowed us to pour any amount you want in the wintertime into the Chatzer, no matter what the quantity of the ditch is. Because it's the wintertime, you can pour as much as you want in without any consideration. The other possibility, explaining Abaye, is that Afilu Kur, Afilu Gurayim, is only once you have a ditch that's a satayim, the size of a satayim. Once you have a ditch the size of a satayim, then we don't worry about how much you pour in. So therefore, Abaye disagrees with the Rav Nachman and says, since in the wintertime it makes no difference, then you can put in as much as you want, no matter how big the size of the ditch is. The wintertime just doesn't matter when it comes to pouring water into that area. On the other hand, Rav Nachman does limit you to one sa'ah if you have a ditch that's one sa'ah. And then if you have a ditch of two sa'ah, according to the simple reading here, you would be limited to two sa'ah. Whereas according to Tosafot, it seems like you could even go beyond the two sa'ah once you had a ditch that was the size of two sa'ah. Now to the last case in the Mishnah. There's two porches that are opposite each other, and only one of the porches made for themselves a drainage ditch or a sewage ditch. Even if there's an eruv between the two sides, between the two porches, nevertheless, the porch that did not make the sewage ditch cannot pour their stuff into it. What's the reason? If we're worried about the fact that there's just going to be too much water, we read a braita, achad liyuka, v'achad ligistra, brecha, v'areva. Doesn't matter what is holding this sewage water, whether it's an uka, it's a ditch, whether it's a gistra, it's a broken shard of pottery which can hold the water. A brecha is a pool, and an areva is a trough or a small boat. All of these have the capacity to hold volumes of water. Afal pi shenitmalu mayim erev Shabbat, even though if they're completely full before Shabbat, you can continue to pour water into them on Shabbat, because when you came into the Shabbat, they had the requisite volume to act as sewage ditches or sewage collectors. If you continue to pour on them and they overflow, that's not a problem. So over here, if our worry is about too much, it's not an issue, because once you have the requisite amount or size of a ditch, then we don't worry if you continue to pour and it overflows. So that should be the case here as well. If the people who built the ditch can use it, and the other people use it, and it overflows, that shouldn't be a problem. Halitmar, hachitmar. If you want to say what Rava said, this makes more sense, which is, Amar Rava, lo shanu ela shelo irvu. What's said in our Mishnah is only true if they didn't make an eruv between them. Aval irvu, if they do make an eruv mutarim, then both sides can use it. Chilo irvu, my time alo. When they didn't make an eruv, why can't they use it? Amar Rav Ashi, gzeira dilma ati lefuke mimani debatim lahatam. We're worried about the fact that when they have not made the roof, they will carry the water in buckets and then pour it directly into the ditch. We're not worried about that for the people who are adjacent to the ditch, because they don't pour it directly into the sewage ditch, as Tosafot explains, but rather they pour it on their porch and then it rolls down or flows down into the ditch. So the people who built the ditch and it's adjacent to their porch, when they pour it onto the porch and then it rolls into the area which is a Carmelit, or the area of the Chatzer where the ditch is, it's proximate to them and they can do it and they would expect it to get there. Whereas the people on the other side, since they are pouring on their porch which is very far away from the ditch, they probably will not think that it's going to get there, it's not going to work so well, it's going to be messy, and they would rather carry the buckets directly over to the ditch. But they can't do that because there's no eruv over here. And that's what we're worried about. That's why we're only worried about the people who are far away from the ditch, not the people who are close to the ditch. Because when they pour on their porches and have it flow down into the ditch, the ones that are proximate will work and be easy, whereas the ones who are far away will have a more difficult time, and then they might come to carry their kelim across the chatzer to dump the water, which would be a problem since there is no eruv over here. And therefore, Rashbam concludes from here that if you have a Carmelit that is near your property and you pour water into it, you don't have to have the Carmelit area covered like you do by Rashut Rabim. Because as far as the Chachamim are concerned, we don't worry about the fact that you pour something in Rashut Yachin and it flows into a Carmelit. We see that from the people that are close to the Uka, that they can pour it on their porch and have it roll out into the Uka down below. The only thing we worry about is the carrying of Kelim. So in an instance where if you pour it, it flows close by or proximate, even though it goes into a Carmelit or Rashut Acheret, We don't worry about it as long as there's no chashash of you carrying the keli over to that other area. And with that, we'll stop and end the parak.